Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 325. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have on the show a good friend of mine that I've known for almost the whole time that I've been in the industry, and starting all the way back at, I believe it was Cressy Performance, which is now Cressy Sport Performance, that we met the first time. And now he is at Drive 495 with at Charlie Weingraff's place, and that is Connor Ryan. Connor, how are you doing?
Thanks for having me, my man. I appreciate it.
So this is weird because not only did we met at Cressy Sports Performance, which is still getting weird to say. Like, I had Greg on last episode, and it's hard to start sitting not saying Cressy Performance, but
yes,
CSP, and you're there, and then you actually came and also interned at MBSC at the time when I started working there.
That's right.
So I was there full time. You came and you interned there while you were, I believe you were still in school at the time.
I was, yeah. Yes. No, no, I was not actually. I kind of did like a, you know, the 5.5 year plan.
Yeah.
For my undergrad. So I had finished early, like my undergrad in exercise phys in like December. And I started up in January. It was right after following my Cressy Performance internship.
And then you went on to IFAST.
I did a lot of things up in between that. I was at Holy Cross for a little bit, worked with Coach Oliver a little bit. I met Jeremy Frisch and got crazy a little bit there. And just Jeremy's the man. talking about a lot of things that, you know, it's kind of comes full circle. It's pretty funny. All the things we used to talk about, you know, it's all cool. And it's all everything we do and did, it all works. And it's just kind of, you know, making sure we can package it and give it to people appropriately so that they can learn effective patterns and learn effective things for that are going to help them in their everyday life, hopefully.
Well, I think, you know, and this is one of the things that very few people can attest to, but we also shared a hotel room for Perform Better, which only you and Cassandra Forsyth can only share that.
That's right.
That honor.
You were a little weirded out about how easy it was to get me in bed, but.
Yeah, that's what you do when you have your own hotel room and like at the last minute and Connor's like, yeah, actually, I'm going to be coming to Perform Better Summit this weekend. I need a place to stay. That's what you do.
Basically begging you. I really appreciated that, obviously.
So
good night, didn't we?
Oh, it was.
That was fun.
Oh, yeah, it was all right.
We had the strength coach dinner downstairs for the place. Trinity, right?
Trinity and Reraz, which is if you're Perform Better, if you're a Perform Better Rhode Island Summit attendee, those are the spots, and that's coming up. There's like 48 feet of snow outside of my house right now. You can hear the snow plows probably going by, but that is really not that far away. I just got off the phone with Chris Poirier a couple days ago, just talking about the Perform Better Summit and cool stuff we're doing over there. So that is all coming up really, really fast. But
exciting.
This episode is going to be a little bit different. Since Connor and I have known each other for a while, this is going to be maybe a lot more conversational. And yeah. I haven't like talked to you in a long time, so this is going to be a lot of like catching up and seeing what you've been doing and what you've been learning, because one of the things that we did like in terms of like pre-show production is talk about what you've been up to. And like you've been going all over the place, checking out a bunch of different courses to kind of like you're always like this is why – put it this way, like when you came back to MBSC, I think you came back for a summer, like randomly. You just showed up like at our summer orientation. I'm like, dude, you're back. You're working for the summer.
Yeah. I begged to come back and they let me. But while I was basically, you know, waiting for the boards to come and kind of in between PT school, they were so gracious to have me. And I'm sure I was very fortunate to be allowed back at MBSC and get my coaching legs under me again.
Yeah, and you came back and you're already on the pulse of PRI, which we've had Michael Mullen on the show I think three times now to talk about you know, PRI, Postural Restoration Institute, you know, but you were, you know, right on the forefront checking that stuff out. So I guess the first thing that I want to throw to you is, you know, it has been a while. What have you been interested in? What have you been checking out in terms of courses and stuff like that?
I'm certainly, you know, you just mentioned PRI. It's certainly a big influence on me. And I've been able to get to a bunch of those courses this year, and I plan to do a number this upcoming year, and also get certified as a PRC this year at the end of the year. And but we were, you know, I don't know if you were even there, but you know, Neil Ramp came when I was at Cressy's.
Dude, we sat next to each other.
That's right. That's right. No, I totally remember that. Oh, of course. No, but remember that was like the introduction to, you know, DNS and PRI, which are obviously big influences of both of those things. It was just so weird and neat and just a cool memory. I even have like the myokinematic dysfunction pamphlet that he gave out. I was looking at the other day, actually. It's just really cool because I didn't know who Neil was, and Cressy's like, this guy is legit, and he obviously is. He's a riot to listen to. Just insane amount of information that can come from that guy's brain. But
it was like a magic show with some of the stuff that he was showing us too.
Yeah, well, he was doing a lot of the reflex locomotion that the Vojta and DNS groups will show you, and I think there's some merit there. And just he's a live wire, so you know to explain to the people who are listening, it's like, you know, I'm not going to do it justice, but you press on some reflex points that allow you to kind of access some ingrained patterns that can possibly get you aware of certain positions and strategies to do certain things, and stabilization from the deep core, the inside out kind of activation. And then you get into a little bit of PRI and we do all this breathing. And I was like, you know, we just went along with it, but I had no clue what was going on. Even, you know, going into Cressy's, you know, I learned so much just from that, that internship. It was just an eye opening, amazing thing to look at. And then, yeah, like you said, we were sitting next to each other and we're looking at each other like, this is crazy stuff. But then now it comes full circle and, you know, you learn a little bit more about what its role is in rehab and maybe setting up some performance and recovery. It's just neat to see. It's just we've been through a cool evolution together, haven't we?
Yeah, we're getting old. Like I turned 29 this year. Like I feel like I'm getting close to 30, and trying to make sure that you're continuing to. I mean, that's one of the benefits of working at MBSC is like I almost don't even need to try to work on my continuing education because Mike always has people coming into our facility and doing guest lectures, and of course, with like all the work that I do outside of, you know, MBSC directly, like the businesses that I run through there, I'm going to every Perform Better Summit. So I'm always getting to see, you know, a new fresh set of content every single summer at the one days throughout the year. So it's and of course I get to interview people on the show. So it's a nice little setup.
No, it's amazing. We're very fortunate to have the network that we do and like the amazing people to pull from. And it's just a good energy, man. The other thing about what we have is like, you know, in our profession, whether it's, you know, I call it the profession, meaning physical therapy, but athletic training, training, strength and conditioning. We just have like a very, for the most part, upbeat, except for, you know, people on Facebook, you know, and all forums, they, you know, they attack people for, I don't know why, but
yeah,
you know, what's up? For the most part, we have just the luckiest, like to even have people to look up to, like Charlie Weingroff and Bill Hartman and
totally
Cressy, like these, it's just neat. It's neat to have this. We not too many professions have that, I don't think.
Yeah, and it is like that's one of the things that hopefully if, you know, people tune into the show, like that is always what you're going to get out of it is something, you know, positive. I think there's always room for debate, but it should always be positive debate without attacks and without especially, you know, personal attacks, or there should never be a point where you're calling someone stupid or, you know, whatever other versions of that word that you want to use. But that's why I stay off the internet as much as humanly possible and just kind of, you know, focus on what I'm trying to do. It's a great learning, you know, a good place to learn, but just make sure that you're learning from, you know, the right people, the positive people, the influences that you want to have on you. Like that saying, like, you know, you are, you know, the sum of the three closest people to, or something like that. So it's all that stuff comes into play.
No, and that's staying away from the internet has served you well. Everyone who doesn't like Kevin Larrabee, right?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, it depends. Usually people who don't know me get to come up to Perform Better and say hi, and they usually get a free t-shirt. So I win them over either way. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about what you've been. I mean, let's just say for 2014, since we're already a little bit into 15, but Like in 2014, you've been checking out a lot of stuff. And what have you found to be particularly interesting or, you know, the most beneficial? And I know our audience is going to be, you know, it's partly the people that just love training. We have definitely a lot of fitness professionals, personal trainers, strength coaches, and physical therapists. But we'll try to keep it kind of just, you know, broad. What did you get the most out of the courses that you checked out in the last year?
So yeah, barring PRI, I took, you know, the SFMA for the first time, and I'm actually auditing that again in Boston in a couple weeks, actually. Excited for that. But I took that and, you know, got a better understanding of what Charlie and a lot of Gray and a lot of the other smart people were talking about. And that's obviously just a great tool. That's really my standard of where we start, you know, just looking to see how people control themselves in space and going from there. And then, you know, based off of what you see, you break it out, or you ask more questions and you get more out of people to get some awareness. But so that was great. TPI was actually even more kind of impressive, I got to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, it's not to say SFMA was a bad course, but TPI was even more exciting, kind of a really neat thing to put things together. I work at Drive 485.
I was going to say, just take a step back for people who don't know what TPI is. That is through Titleist, correct?
Yeah, Titleist Performance Institute. And they just do a great job of their kind of education track and kind of bridging the gap between the golf professionals, coaches, strength coaches, and, you know, whether or a chiropractor or a PT who can help in the rehab process. Mm-hmm. Just kind of they come at it all from all angles and help unite people, which is really, I mean, talk about just misunderstandings cause a lot of the threats and the not good feelings about other people in other professions. It's like, you know, they are bridging the gap and they do a great job. I really enjoyed the golf pro talks and seeing what they have to offer in terms of, because they can speak our language, so it just helps. And when we can all speak each other's language, it was really awesome.
And also for SFMA, you know, just we'll throw it out there. People obviously might know what the FMS is. Mm-hmm. You might be familiar with that through Gray and Lee. But what is the difference between like the FMS and the SFMA? Like, who is that for?
So the FMS is for strictly training people or training clients or strength and conditioning clients. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Kevin, it's not valid if there's any pain. So that's part of the screen, is to say, in certain positions, are you feeling pain or pinch or whatever? And then, you know, it's a zero, and you have to, I mean, you should be within reason dishing out to the proper medical professional to get more information and have it more of an assessment. And that's where this selective functional movement assessment comes into play. It's more of a, like I said, assessment. It gets down to the nitty gritty and can break out whether it's a motor control issue or whether it's a mobility issue, and how to navigate that to get the quickest bang for your buck.
Cool. And you also mentioned TPI, and like I said, we've had Michael Mullen come on a bunch of times to talk about PRI, but just in terms of like things that, just to take a step back, things that have like really changed the way that I've looked at you know, training, warming up, and what we do at MBSC, PRI has had a pretty big influence on us, and it is always interesting to take a look at that in terms of, like, this is stuff that they've been telling people for 15 years or longer. Yeah. And now, like, we are just starting to have it make an influence on, like, what, like, if you want to talk about, like, the boil that it, of the bubble that is going to be, like, outside of, like, Mike Boyle strength and conditioning, your, like, obviously, Cresci Sports Performance and things like that. Like, it's starting to hit that, you know, that little demographic or that bubble of the industry now, which is super fantastic. So in terms of like the PRI courses, how do you think that is, how beneficial is it for someone that is just like a personal trainer out there? Do you really recommend, you know, checking it out, going to a course? What do you think is the best first step for them?
You know, this is a very loaded question, and it is a challenging one to answer, because it's still something I'm navigating through in terms of, I think it's very helpful particularly if you're working with someone that is a medical professional, chiropractor, ATC or PT, who will kind of guide those treatments. But PRI isn't really, in my eyes, at the moment, again, this is my stance right now. It'll change over the next year, 5 years, 10 years, and I'll have a better answer for you. But it's not strength and conditioning. That's for darn sure. Like, not for darn sure. It's something that, like, I don't know, I struggle with, but it's really the references and the things that you can get from the courses, the higher level courses from impingement and instability mm-hmm. can maybe incorporated. But I kind of disagree from, like, you know, doing things solely on one side. It's just kind of challenging. Like, can you picture, like, someone, you know, PRI is based on evaluation. Let me back up.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, maybe even, you know, throw out an example. Like, what do you mean by, like, doing things just on one side? I mean, I think even we at MBSC have kind of tried to rack our heads, like, around, you know, if we're going to do certain activations, are we just going to do that on one side now? Or are we going to completely neglect that opposite side? Like, is that what PRI is telling us? Or, like, are we digesting it improperly?
Totally. Yeah, no. So it's like, it's tough. I don't think that, I think you can get other, having a general understanding is helpful, but, you know, trainers shouldn't be doing all this evaluation and working off that. Like, even pragmatically, it's not good for business, I don't think, unless you are already kind of set and you have a great rate and you know, people will pay the tab for something that's going to, you know, allow you to do very personal training or something like that. But, you know, you should never assume. You had, you know, PRI will say they have an attitude about asymmetry, and it really comes down to the level of the brain. At the level of the brain, they look to the viscera and all the rib cages up and down, and the liver's on one side, and the all those asymmetries are certainly there, but it's really at the level of the brain. So it's like, you know, it gets complicated, not from the standpoint that you shouldn't be doing these things. You're going to hurt people, but just to always assume is not, you can't do that. You need to go by evaluation because there are different patterns that people evolve into and it becomes challenging. Now, that being said, I think there are some grenades and some good principles, really, really important principles that should be discussed in terms of pathologies and laxities of anterior hips and iliolumbar ligaments and anterior shoulders and arthrokinematics that can occur because of these like these torques and torsions of rib cages and spines and shoulder blades and impingement that occurs because of it all. And it is pretty neat to see. It also is a course that teaches you a lot about gait. So it's a PNF course too. It's like, it's, you know, it's PNF in a very direction, very specific manner. So it does get down to some nitty gritty that's really important, but I'd say having a general base, I think, you know, Michael, listening to Michael Mullen and getting a good base is a good start. But depending on your situation, if you're working in like a big group setting, I wouldn't put as much effort into going in that direction right now, at least, because it's going to evolve. And you know, the masterminds of this, the clinic itself, and some of the people running the fitness course that's now an affiliate course that's coming out, that's going to improve and get better over time as it evolves. And but it's still brand new. But the thing is, you know, I'll have a better, probably more appropriate answer in 5 years when I'm able to get some more experience under my belt, because I'm still only, you know, very young. I've only been out 2 years. But I think, like, big principles, can you breathe into all four quadrants of your, you know, apical, chest wall, and your posterior mediastinum? That to me is, like, that's a pretty good place to start. So, like, doing things on all fours and being able to close down the front and open up the back and reduce tone of the erectors and the lats, and that can be just particularly, you know, almost magical in terms of helping people decrease threat appraisal and decrease sympathetic tone and getting people out of that kind of overly extended position. It's kind of, you know, they use some exaggerated postures that help shut off a dominant posture. So, you know, part of the teachings talks about how the path of least resistance is certainly right stance, but it's also extension. So we're trying to just counteract that a little bit and shut down tone. That's where, like, the PNF principles will come into play, at least at the surface. It's pretty neat. But I would say the other things I was excited about was the FRC, the functional range conditioning. That was a really good course that I went to this year. Andrea Ospina is the chairman or the president, CEO, and chief instructor of that. And he's up in Toronto. He's a chiropractor. He also does really good soft tissue courses, functional range release. I'm excited to take that course up at Ramph Owens' place in Connecticut in May, I believe. But anyways, the FRC is something that I think particularly after you can do something to help position, which is something that, you know, DNS and PRI and even SFMA will help kind of restore. I think after that, you can continue down the line of the continuum of getting end range control and help influence the tissues to become more resilient in specific directions and at end ranges. There's a lot of just merit to what the methods that he kind of teaches, and it's something that really can help the PRI as well. It kind of helps open up some of the posterior capsules that need to be, you know, actually stretched out a little bit. I'm excited to learn more about it. And there's a couple of people that drive. Again, I'm kind of lucky to have a lot of really smart people around me, and they've caught on to it as well. So they're teaching me and helping me kind of blend it into training and rehab. And I think it's a very powerful tool. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested in the next couple episodes. I'm actually recording a bunch of stuff ahead of time because I'm doing a bunch of travel, so I can kind of break the fourth wall of time right now. But the next two people that I'm going to have on are one of the next couple people is going to be Brendan Rarick, who is a strength coach at NBSC, who is now out in San Francisco. And he was just at one of their seminars over this past weekend. So far after day one, he was super positive about it, but I was just kind of texting back and forth with him. And I'm really bummed out because the next one that is coming up close to me is going to be when I'm in Japan at the end of March in Connecticut. So hopefully they're going to be going to they're going to Drive 495.
They will be. You come down.
Right, yeah, maybe I will. We'll take a look at that. But if you want to check it out, it's functionalanatomyseminars.com if you want to get some more information. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. And I just want to give some quick thanks to our Patreon supporters. But stick around. We'll be right back with more with Connor Ryan. Before we get back into the interview with Connor, I just want to take a second and let people know that the best way to support the Fitcast right now is through patreon.com at patreon.com/theFitcast. There you can support the show starting at just $1 per episode, and it really means a lot. It's what allows me to set aside the time in my now super crazy schedule to make sure new episodes get produced every single week. So if you do enjoy the show, please go to patreon.com/theFitcast and give it a look. I'd like to say thank you to a couple supporters right now on the show. And first off, we have some people that are donating $5 per episode, which is huge, like Carrie and Travis. They're bringing in $5 per episode. Also, Jim Smitty Smith has stepped up, and he's also doing $5 per episode. We have some people that are also going in a $10 fashion, including Dave Ballantyne, Jim Ward, and Mark Davidson, who has also contributed so much to the show. So thank you to all of them. And just a couple other people I want to mention. Jen Comas has also started contributing to the show, which is awesome. Thank you so much, Jen. Glenda Watt, who is doing $2.50 per episode. And, you know, again, I like to thank a lot of these people that are helping to support the show because it really means a lot. I wouldn't be doing the show anymore unless people were supporting it through Patreon. So please jump on there, show your support, and make sure that it can keep doing these episodes every single week. Thanks. Let's get back to the show. All right, we're back, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about the functional range conditioning seminar that you went to, because I'm really curious if I'm going to be dropping a couple $100 on the certification. I want to know, like, what were the big things that you took home from that? You know, what were, I guess, you impressed by over the weekend, or what did you think, like, hey, this is something that should make me go back and look at the way that I program and make some changes?
Well, I'll say that, you know, the evolution of how, like, we think about stretching, and it certainly, I guess, over the past year has changed a lot. And partly because of pragmatics and but also because the FRC has a big influence on how I've kind of shaped my thought process around it. Because a lot of, you know, PRI talks about inhibition, and I think that's very, very, very important principle that helps, is very powerful and kind of cornerstone to what they do. But then there's also with the FRC, there's kind of, it made me kind of bring back the importance of the histology and that quality of the tissue, the resilience of the tissue, the ability for it to absorb stress in specific directions. And, you know, the methods that he shows you, it's, you know, he'll hate to say, and it's not PNF, but it's very close to PNF, and he's not ripping it off. He's using it very appropriately. And, but it's a little, also kind of a twist on it in terms of other research that helps cite his thought process and how long you should hold this and how you go about it. So, and you know, it's very similar to what we've done. I should say that the boys at Cressy Performance have done. And, with end-range isometrics, you know, a Shirley Saarman-type influence. But going to end ranges and, you know, having an awareness, you know, starting off with the cars, the controlled articular rotations, and where you're basically just exploring, you know, range of motion. And I think certainly just opening some of those tissues up is maybe what's occurring, but I think it's a lot of awareness and having people be able to dissociate you know, a shoulder blade from a glenohumeral joint and a shoulder blade from a rib cage and an upper rotation from lower rotation, all these things that other methodologies or other schools of thought will also promote. Yeah, and this dissociation is just like one of the more important things, because if you can't dissociate, you can't really, there's not much variability in the system. You can't adapt. You only have a certain strategy to do certain things. So it starts with kind of going through like what it looks like, you know, not calisthenics, but just big motions, end range motions and working it through your own, with your own muscles controlling it. So it's not like holding an end range and just kind of, you know, letting tissues, what people might think is relaxing or what people might think is just like literally elongating tissue, which I, you know, we want to be careful when we do that. But you start there and then kind of at those end ranges, having an increased activation of the stabilizers and the matrix of tissue around specific joints that allows stability but also mobility. So helping the arthrokinematics by means of stability and changing position, but also kind of being aware that we can dissociate our joints and not have to move all of them at once. So from there, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just gonna. I'm making sure that I'm kind of like reminding myself that I need to also ask some of the questions from the audience. But I want you to continue until you finish your thought.
Yeah. So I mean, from there, the cars. Then you go into the pales and rails, progressive progressive angular isometric loading and regressive angular isometric loading. I believe that's what it is. And you know, please anyone correct me if I'm wrong. But it's basically, you know, having control on both sides of the joint at end range, and it's like I said, it makes sense from a lot of standpoints. But just end range control, like a baseball player needs end range control when you go lay back into that that setup to sling back, and all of that requires specific control from the brain and neurological control. But also, this just it brought back an importance of histological resilience and preparing tissues to handle loads.
So one of the things I want to make sure that we mix in there, like I said, some questions from the audience, and maybe I don't know what the best political way to do this, but Travis, I guess he wanted to know, like, what, you know, out of all the like the internships that you got to participate in, what, not necessarily what was your favorite, but maybe we can even go through a couple and if there are any real big take-home points that you got from those internships.
So, I mean, Eric Cressy is someone who I have just the utmost respect for, and I'm so grateful for him and what he's done for me and my career and just as a friend, too. He's just he's an amazing guy. So, I mean, I couldn't be more grateful, and I am literally talking to you because of it. I am, you know, living in New York City and able to work under really cool people and work with cool people because of it. Like, I'm so grateful. I would not be here today if it wasn't for him. And it was kind of a place where I think you and I learned a lot of our base understanding of, you know, strength and conditioning principles, and
absolutely
learned how to coach in a semi-private situation. And obviously just amazing energy there as well. So, and that, it's cool to see how they've evolved and grown in their business. And, you know, Eric's got the new facility down in Florida, and it's booming from what I'm hearing. So I'm excited to see what they're going to turn into even more. So then after that, you know, I met amazing people through that. And then Mike Boyles came up as an opportunity, and I took that. That really, you know, Coach Boyle, he's the man. So, like, how can, not only is he the man from what he teaches us individually, but you think about all the people we know that we're influenced by, and you, Kevin Brennan, and Marco, and all these people, Nicole Rodriguez, like, she taught me how to coach. She literally taught me how to coach, and she taught us how to be performers, and really just, you know, that the amazing energy and what it can bring to in a facility in terms of getting the most out of people, but also just being clear and concise and not confusing people. It's just, you know, that was a very, very amazing opportunity to.
I think anyone that worked with Nicole would probably say, like, she's the best coach that they've ever worked with.
They also say Walter Norton is also a very intense and just a performer. So I can't say I've seen him coach, but, you know, Charlie says amazing things, and had a few friends, Ramez and my buddy Corey, who have also interned over there, and Celine. So, like, it's contagious, and we're lucky to have those people to help to teach us the ways, and, you know.
Yeah, she's someone who is now at Exos, which is formerly Athletes Performance, and she's someone that I definitely have to, like, she actually surprised me by being at, she was at her facility a couple of weeks ago, and, like, just, like, out of nowhere, she just showed up. I guess it was for,
that's awesome.
But I don't know why she was in town. I think it was just, it might have been all the way back during Christmas time, but anyways, yeah, she was in town, and she is heading up a lot of the education stuff that they're doing at Exos. So if you ever go to one of their courses, she tends to be one of the, you know, people that are going to be running that. But yeah, definitely look up Nicole if you are looking to get some education through Exos. But I want to ask you this, because this is the, I mean, it's not like an annoying question, but I swear to God, every time I meet people, and they're probably listening to the show, but they come up to me at a Perform Better seminar, they come up to me when they do like an internship, or they come in, do a mentorship at MBSC, and they go, all right, well, you worked at, or you interned at Crescent Performance and at, you know, Mike Boyle's, like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, there's
like, they're two different worlds. Like, they're two completely different planets.
You can't even compare them, because they just run on different models, and they, in their own rights, they're the premier. So it you know, they have a million athletes coming through those doors. They've seen it time and time again, and both models work really well. So it's like I'm the luckiest person, you know, and you get why, because you've experienced it as well. But like, it's just crazy, like. The things that are similar are the attention to detail, the importance of good quality, continuing to learn, having good energy, you know, good work ethic. Like, this is things that you don't even have to, they just instill those things in you, and it kind of makes everything that much easier. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the standard that we were given in the very beginning. So talk about fortunate to have those spots. But, you know, group, it's, you know, Boyles is more of a group training. So it's, you know, everyone is in a group, and you have a specific time. The Cresci model, I think, allows for more variability in people's schedules, maybe. I don't they're both great in their own regards, and they do their thing right.
Yeah, definitely. I usually put it pretty much that way. Like, there's two different demographic. It's like whatever it is, I think they charge like $40 or $45 per session at Crescent Performance, where we charge like maybe it's like 18 or 20, but at CP you're getting individualized programming, where at MBSC it's a, you know, the same program for the whole group. But that's why I almost think it's almost even more fun to try to program at MBSC, because you get to create a program that is going to cover all the bases. And mm-hmm. the major modifications that we have is like we'll have an overhead athlete program versus a program for everyone else because we'll make some specific modifications for that demographic. But I still think it is a case of like if you're ever coming up to Massachusetts and you're like going to go hang out at MBSC for a day, I totally say like, yeah, take that 45-minute drive up to, you know, Cressy's and see how they do things there, because whether it's the programming or the way they set up the groups or the, I should say the training the environment, like, or you could just, I was talking with Greg last episode, just crap on Tony's terrible taste in movies for half an hour. Like you can have a lot of fun there.
That's too much. Too funny.
Tony likes the worst like artsy fartsy movies in the world. I don't know.
I mean, you know, everyone has their own thing but he also likes techno. So
Tony's techno Tuesdays and Thursdays right. or whenever Eric is, I guess. Oh my God. Now Eric is in Florida.
So. I don't know what goes on. It's gotta be, you know, I think the other guys over there hold it down. I mean, Tony also, we poke fun, but he also does have good taste in music as well. So
his good taste in music, and also the stuff that I learned from Tony, just in terms of like coaching stuff, like, oh my God, like just like the just in deadlift and squat technique from Tony and Eric, been things that I've carried with me, you know, all these like 7 years now. And not only they work, but just like they're super simple. And it's just, like I said, it's two different really methodologies, but as you said, we're all trying to get to the same goal. Like we're all trying to get people better. We're trying to get people healthier, move better, keep them injury free. But we all, you know, there's just kind of different methodologies and ways to get, or I guess paths that you can take to get to that destination.
Yeah. The really entirely the values are pretty much all the same. You know what I mean? We all read the same books and we're all interested in the same stuff. And, it's just, they're similar. They're similar, and but only different because of the resources that they're allotted and how much, you know, Mike has a bigger facility at the moment, and it's just, it's set up differently. It makes sense. So like it's all pragmatics, right? In terms of what works for each facility, what works for each personality at that time, and you also see the big thing you could take out of both those facilities and see is certainly the values and the core components are just, you know, very important, and they're always held at the top of the priority, but they're also evolving. Like that's something that a lot of young professionals should see, is that they're evolving and they're changing and adapting to the market, or they're adapting to their clients, they're adapting to the new teachings out there, and that's something that I if you're listening to the FitCast, you're obviously interested in learning, so it's not, you don't have to convince these people, but It just is neat to see, and those are the reasons why those people are successful.
Let's move on a little bit. We can always come back to there's a couple other places. I mean, your other big influence. I mean, you spent some time in Indy at IFAS, right?
I will say Indy was a remarkable situation. And if I had to, I mean, I hate to say even pick a favorite, but that was the one I guess I got the most out of, because I was a little bit more mature. I was also engulfed. Like, you know, I was in Cressy's, you know, I was only there a little bit and had the opportunity, but that was like my baseline. And, you know, but then in that MBSC, you learn how to coach and you learn great methods and basically everything around coaching just got sharper. But IFAS was really remarkable because Bill Hartman is one of the smartest people I've ever run into, and his ability and just his experience already on top of being smart. And like the guy would, he goes home, we'd work 10-hour day and he'd go home and read. And he's been working for 23 years, 24
he's
years.
A machine, man.
It's unbelievable. So, you know, the guy, he sets the standard as well for us as learners and professionals, which is just, it was neat to see. You know, if you don't read Bill's stuff, like get on it. Like the guys, you know, the funny thing is he's really good, and he won't even show you how good he is because on his blog or anything, because he's working, he's doing, he's in the trenches. Like, you know, it is what it is. So he's just the man. I'm so grateful to him as well. And, but also the other unique part of that was having kind of a clinic setting, but also IFAS. So I was able to hang out with Mike Robertson and Jay Chong and Zach Moore and all those guys, Lance Goyke, and just amazing minds. And They're certainly influenced by the two head honchos, Bill and Mike, but just also just thinkers for themselves. And I guess I'll come back to the standard of the pace and rate of learning and kind of pursuing getting better. Mm-hmm. But I was also able to room with Eric Otter and Matt Nickerson while I was there, and just both brilliant guys. And you'll see both those names more as well. Particularly, I was able to spend a couple weeks with Matt Nickerson. He's out in Arizona right now. I actually got to call him. I can't wait to hear his voice. But I also talked to Eric Otter recently, and that kid is someone who, if you don't know the name, you will, because he's just going to be such an asset and an amazing leader in our field, in every part of the field. Like, the kid has the most amazing ability to absorb and distribute information. It's unbelievable. Like, Eric Cressy, like, that guy can read and like retain information, but even Eric's like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, and same thing with Bill, like, this kid is just unbelievable. So you'll see his name, and I'm grateful to have made really good friends with those guys, and have him in my network to just call, and he can wax poetic on any single topic and make anything a little bit more clear, either more clear or make me ask more questions and make me more confused, which is also fun.
And let's transition a little bit into, how do you go about taking all this stuff, all this information that you've learned, and then start to figure out what you're going to apply? Because you, like you were saying before, you went to 12 courses last year. How do you start digesting that stuff and start trying to figure out what you make use of that in your practice or when it comes to programming?
So I'll say, for me, it's like, I'm really not that bright, so I have to take things over and over again. That's one thing about it. And the other thing is, it's like, it's kind of the way I learn. So I like to do things in real time, or I'm not as good at sitting down and disseminate or like kind of absorbing information as I would be in courses. So that's why I choose to do that. But you get to meet other cool people and get pumped up as well. But I'll say, it's not necessarily the right way for everyone. You know, I do that, but I can almost guarantee you I'm not maximizing some of the, the way that I absorb it, or I try to be as pragmatic as possible when, you know, doing what we do. So I'm not just going to, like, you know, see everything as a certain thing just because I went to that course. That's actually the biggest problem with a lot of these exciting courses, is I caution people to get so engulfed in one thing and say, oh, this is the only way to fix it, or this is it, man. So like you guess stunt yourself. So again, I can't say it's the right way or wrong way, but it's the way I did it, and I'm excited. I've set myself up so that I just have to keep taking more courses, which is my wife is a little upset about.
Well,
I'm excited about it.
Well, in terms of just what you're learning right now, what are you most excited about? What are you most excited about? Like, yeah, I really got to get back to like that level two, or I really want to see like what is going on that side of that spectrum, or, you know, what that school of thought is looking at right now.
I mean, there's so many layers, and the rabbit hole of PRI is so big that if I have to answer that honestly, it's PRI, mm-hmm. and the things that you can get out of it. But mostly, you know, you have to learn the rules to break the rules. And I think that's why I'm so excited about it. Not that I'm saying I want to break the rules, but I want to make everything blend more. And I think the SFMA is the cornerstone of how I look at things. And then PRI is kind of the overall lens that I look at things. But and then we also have the FMS and other assessment tools. So I think that the SFMA is certainly something that is just so powerful and such a great, quick, pragmatic way to look at things. Mm-hmm. And then having, you know, some of the skills of PRI and some of the principles of PRI on top of that is just remarkable. So I guess I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but the whole thing is I'm super excited about PRI to learn more about like autonomics and its role on vestibular function and its role on people, you know, who get up and they're dizzy, or they tumble, like they do somersaults or whatever, and they literally can't do it because their eyes and their vestibular system and their autonomics aren't coordinated and everything's kind of off. It kind of helps. It's a little bit esoteric sometimes because we're, you know, I just don't have a great baseline of the physiology and neuro underneath it. So it makes me excited to learn more about that kind of stuff. But I guess the exciting part is blending it all together. So, and that's just going to come with time in terms of just continuing to go to these courses and revisit SFMA more and more. And that's why I'm really excited for to audit that. Go to FRC more, go to more soft tissue courses. I eventually want to get to a needling course. I'm sure all the listeners who do that, they're laughing right now. It's like, yeah, of course, why wouldn't you? Like, needling is just so powerful. You know, we've seen...
Yeah, Sue talked about that. Sue Falzone, I guess it's Falzone, who came on the show a couple months back, talked a little bit about that, and I think she's even doing some dry needling courses now.
Yeah, dry needling. Yeah, she was just up in Worcester, Mass. At Central Mass PT, actually, I think. Those are my buddies, and I did a clinical rotation at Central Mass with Mike Roberts, Jackie Shaker, Mike Kernan, and the folks up there. They're phenomenal as well. So I haven't yet talked to them about it, but I'm excited to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, and if you are interested, if you haven't listened to the interviews that I did with Michael Mullen about PRI, if you want to just like get a quick introduction, and it's not even like an introduction, because for a lot of this stuff, like he came to our facility three times, and it was probably like on hour five of like actually seeing this stuff where it started to click. And this is while I was getting like practical hands-on application of this stuff. So the audio is a little bit harder to follow. He does a really good job in terms of visualization, but I really recommend, you know, going and listening to that if you're interested. You know, check out, and this is a terrible plug, but if you go on bodybyboyleonline.com, we actually have all those lectures and the hands-on practicals that That's he awesome. Did on there. Yeah, so even if you jumped on there for like $40 for a month, watch that stuff and cancel. Like, you can still get access to that stuff. But it is just like super intriguing. And even he's on the Perform Better Summit tour this year. So he's going to be doing talks, I think, at all three of the Perform Better Summits. So if you're in Providence, Chicago, or Long Beach, make sure you set some time aside to go see his lecture, because he has really refined it. He's done an awesome job growing as a teacher and as a presenter. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to get a ton out of that if you go and see his stuff.
Yeah, he's just a nice guy. See, man, he's just like just the coolest dude. And
he's from Maine.
Like, definitely something to check out for sure. And maybe that's really where people, trainers, should really first start to get an appreciation for some of the principles. But it's, you know, I will say at the moment, I think that it's more of a rehab thing than it is a training thing, but it's also recovery. So at the same time, you know, what training is, recovery is a big part of training. So, you know, maybe that's where it fits in a little bit more. And I guess I can make an argument for why the reference centers that you will learn in the impingement and instability course are particularly helpful and can be pretty amazing drivers in taking away some impinges and hips and things like that. Just finding a right ball of your foot and a right medial arch when you squat on your right. Yeah, it'll help take away impingements in knees and ankles. And it's remarkable, man. But it's not magic. It's just kind of helping balancing out a system that's inherently asymmetrical.
Well, let's get to the serious questions, because now at Drive 495.
Not that I was serious, but.
No, I'm more just kidding with this, but
me as well.
Has Charlie gotten you into WWE yet?
You know, Charlie and I have lots of topics of conversation. Typically, I don't talk about that kind of stuff. I was like crazy, crazy, crazy into WWF when I was younger, and I think you're not using Charlie Weingoff appropriately when you ask him about that kind of stuff. I'd rather ask him about strength and conditioning and physical therapy type topics.
Well, that's the difference between us. When I see him at Perform Better Summits, like, we spend half an hour talking about, you know, the upcoming, whether it be SummerSlam. It's usually SummerSlam when we see each other in the summer summits. But It is always a great time. And what's that?
Of course.
And but again, Charlie, obviously, if you haven't checked out his stuff, again, the Perform Better Summits are just the best opportunity to see so many great people. But make sure you go and check out one of his lectures. Not only will it be super, will it be super educational, but you also will be entertained. He's a great, yeah. He gets that red line. He drinks that red line, and he's ready to go.
He doesn't even need red line. He's so pumped up. Like,
I think he just likes the taste of it. I don't think it does anything, but it's more of a kiss, like you said. It just he just has lots of energy, and he's a great presenter, and he loves the stuff.
He's obviously knows stuff. He's a brilliant guy, and like just he literally is my favorite presenter because he gets so pumped up, and he pumps you up just inherently. Like, it's just amazing. He's a riot. So go and yeah, if you go to Perform Better, you have to make sure you check off that box. It's like you're dumb not to.
Totally. And again, you can go back to, he was on a couple months ago now, but everything from God, we even talked about Pokemon. Like, that's how deep that interview got, because you know that's what happens when you come.
I don't know if I agree with the whole, like, I don't think deep and Pokemon go together, but I'll take your word for it.
It's important. This is not a college lecture. You got to have some fun, and you got to, you know, keep it entertaining. I'm not Howard Stern. I'm not able to keep it that entertaining, but at some point you want to make sure that people are up awake and ready for more content. Let's wrap it up. Talking about this question from a longtime fan of the show, Clement Yu. This is kind of, again, more of a general question, but he asked, what kind of education would you recommend for a fitness professional? We'll just talk about like your standard like personal trainer, someone that's getting into the fitness industry. What do you think are the definite like things that people should have on their to-do list?
The FMS, if you have, I mean, I would imagine a lot of people have done that already, but the FMS is just a great lens to look through and a great quick tool to help guide you and see if I'll steal this from Charlie, if the joints can get in the right positions to absorb and adapt to stress. Like that's the key right there, because otherwise you're just kind of like, you know, waning and just like throwing things at people, which is, you know, it works for some people, but when you realize how powerful it can be to just know a little information can take you a long way and make sure that you prevent putting someone in a precarious position because they don't have shoulder mobility or stability or enough range to get overhead. They shouldn't be going overhead. That's just one example, but the FMS is certainly something that you got to do. The FRC is something that is very, very helpful. I'm not going to say that he's certainly not stealing anything, but he's packaging, you know, important principles in a great way. So Andrew Spina's courses are very good. I would highly recommend those. The TPI, you know, particularly if you're working with golfers or even rotational athletes, it's all the same. Baseball, tennis, you know, all those things. I can't say it's exactly geared towards those things, but it gives you the lens and the understanding of the fundamental principles that allow you to, you know, be a little bit more of a sniper than and less of a, you know, entertainer as a personal trainer or a strength coach.
Sorry, I have to mute myself we're getting like snow. It's a blizzard outside right now. I'm just happy that the internet and the power has not gone out yet.
No, of course.
Comcast has been a little bit iffy in the last couple of weeks, but
sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay, man. It's, you know, I'm outside shoveling anyways. So let's let's wrap up with this. I mean, this is going to be really like an introduction for Connor, because what I've been trying to do with these couple episodes before this and the couple episodes after this is, you know, get some fresh voices, get some younger professionals on the show to kind of see what people are up to in the industry. So what I want to do is we'll kind of tie things up here. But I will say in the meantime, make sure if you're on Twitter, especially, make sure you're following Connor at @CRyanPT. And I'll put that in the show notes too, but it's just CRyanPT on Twitter. And I know you got some cool stuff coming up in the future, Connor. So we'll have you up back on the show down the road to talk a little bit more about what you're going to be doing. But any plans for any seminars that you're going to be heading to in the next couple months? Any travel plans where people might be able to bump into you?
So I know I'll be at Rand Phones for the Angiospina's functional range conditioning. The functional range release. Hold on one second, I'm getting a phone call. I'll also be, what are my plans? I'm kind of blanking right now. I'll be at a few PRI courses this year.
You coming to perform better? You coming to summits this year or anything like that?
I sure will be. Can't wait for that. That's just every year. So it's an awesome time to get together and see everyone and just get excited again. You see all the people with such passion and such enthusiasm. It's awesome. So I hope to see you there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I go to all of them, but we're also going to be bringing in, we haven't really announced it yet, but might as well say it on the show, that we're going to be at Drive 495 for Certified Functional Strength Coach certification later in the year. We haven't announced the date yet, but we'll definitely be there if people are interested in near New York.
So I will be doing that as well, yes.
Yeah, so we got it's a really cool thing to be able to get Connor on the show, because he's one of those guys that now I've looked up to professionally, and he's definitely getting the pulse of a lot of different things that are going on in the fitness and rehab world. So it's always good to get impressions to see what you're up to and what is interesting you. And like I said, we'll make sure to have you on in a couple of weeks or maybe a month or two from now, once things are rolling a little bit more with what you got cooking.
Yep.
And other than that, I will say for the audience out there, I mentioned before, but it's a big deal for people that are supporting the show through Patreon, and it's really easy. You can just go to patreon.com/thefitcast. I'm not going to go into a whole thing about it, but you can support the show for just $1 per episode, and now you can make sure I can feed my dog. Because I won't feed my dog unless people. Oh man, that's a joke. But
Purina, of course.
I don't even give him. I give him good stuff. I give him Nutro.
Oh, Nutro, yeah.
That's like 40. That's like $50 a bag. It is not cheap stuff, but it's how we roll.
Animal lovers, they're gonna help you. The non-animal lovers, they're gonna say, "I'm not gonna pay for that."
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, nothing but animal lovers and. Animal rights activists in the audience. But no, for real, like seriously, patreon.com/thefitcast. And we got about 100 people supporting the show through there. But if you do enjoy the show, help make sure that these episodes keep coming to you every single week. And also those people get the episodes 1 week early, earlier than everyone else. So if you're on there, you get it 1 week early and you get your own RSS feed. So you can still get it through iTunes. You can still get it through your phone or whatever you like listening to your podcast on. And of course, on iTunes, you can submit reviews on there, subscribe to the show on there. If you don't want to support the show through Patreon, that's another way to help the show. And of course, at Fitcast, FITCAST, on Twitter to get updates about new guests and cool stuff that are going on with the show. And other than that, I think we are going to wrap it up, because I'm looking outside. I'm like, damn, I got to go get that snowblower back out and start snowblowing again. But
shovel, yeah.
Well, actually, I'm doing both, because I'm helping out with a couple houses around the on the street.
Or any chance. I like the idea. But yeah, no, Kevin, thank you so much. I'm so honored to even I can't imagine people really want to hear anything I have to say, but I'm honored to be on the show and just grateful to just catch up, man. I haven't talked to you in too long, and let's not make it too long. I'm excited to come back. I really would love that.
Yeah, this is a cool thing about the show, is that we can do stuff like that, and it's like it's a twofer. It's a two for one. We get to do a little bit of both and get that.
We're selfish.
We're selfish, and we also get to help out, educate some people out there and give them some cool information. But like I said, if you listen to this and you're like, man, there's some really interesting things that Connor talked about, start getting those questions in right now, questions@thefitcast.com, or tweet them to me, or you can get me on Facebook at facebook.com/KevinLarrabee or twitter.com/KevinLarrabee, and start getting those questions in now. I'll start banking those up for the next time we get Connor on, if you do have any other questions. But until next time, like I said, there's a lot of great ways to support the show. I hope you jump on those things and help to keep the show going. And other than that, thank you for listening as always, and hopefully you're not in New England and buried under 4 feet of snow like we are right now.
Thanks so much, Kev.